If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Don't say anything bad about corporations. Corporations made this country great. Stop being mean to corporations. Don't you think it's time they deserved a break? There may be some bad apples, but they haven't all gone to pot. There may be a few bad apples. Keep the good ones and toss the ones with rot. Corporations hire lots of people who otherwise would just be bored, contemplating their navel or staring at the old back door. Corporations speak out for freedom to do as they see fit. When workers talk about freedom, corporations never heard of it. And when those workers start complaining that their rights have been abused, who do they think is listening? CEOs can't help but be amused. So don't say anything bad about corporations. Corporations made this country grand. Stop being mean to corporations. Don't you know they developed our land? Corporations trust in science, relying on chemicals a lot. When they spill on workers, a problem? What problem? Not. And if there's a leak in the ocean, a field, a river, a lake, the Pierre Flack calmly pronounces, not enough to contaminate. Corporations serve their investors, whose happiness comes first. Forget about labor or the public, who always get treated worst.
All right, hello. Welcome back.
Yeah, there's like, what, like 6 more minutes of that?
Yeah, there's a lot more.
It's the longest song in his whole album. Like, holy shit, I need to grab the album right now just to read the title.
Well, anyway, while he's doing that, welcome to episode 14.88, part 4 of The Daily Show, brought to you by therightstuff.biz.
This is The Daily Show.
I am the Seventh Son. I'm joined this week on the death panel by Alex McStab, Ghoul, Mike Enoch, and this is the triumphant return of Bulbasaur, who provided us with the music this evening.
And Ghoul's here too.
I said Ghoul. I said Ghoul. God damn it! I'm a fucking professional. All right.
Totally
ever since,
but TRS makes no mistakes.
I'll remember
ever,
this forever.
Do I need to go back and hit? You guys are going to feel real dumb when you listen to it tomorrow, and you're like, "Oh shit, he said Ghoul." He said Ghoul while Alex was saying, "What's up?"
Yeah, you're going to feel even more dumb.
You might have done that. You might be right.
Fucking niggas talking.
Maybe it was still your bed. You should have waited. You're supposed to be a good host.
You're not supposed to talk over the host when he's hosting. That's the way
Alex didn't get the memo that we don't say hi.
Yeah, we don't say hi anymore. We don't say hi unless I go out of my way to say, like, well, since nobody knows who we are anymore again, let's say hi. Because
we still get new listeners sometimes. Sometimes it's good to do.
Do they know who we are?
I don't care.
I don't really care at this point either.
No, I mean, I get rustled when the other day somebody attributed some of my brilliance to Michael, and I was like, come on, I get so little.
Wasn't oh, really? They did?
Yeah.
So maybe it's your voice they fap over.
Oh God!
Michael steals more content from people than anyone in TRS.
Oh shit!
I steal quite a bit.
Wow, that's fucked up.
So, what's the name of that album we were listening to? Is it Fart Sniffers Extreme or
Fart Sniffers?
Okay, so the story is: I went down to McKay's Books in Nashville, West Nashville, the pretentious part of Nashville. And while we were kind of looking through the books, I walked out with some philosophy, some religion. I kind of came upon this. It's Johnny Hahn, Don't Feed the Corporations. And the cover art is like this super dildo, like there's a stream, a bear, looks like an elk, and it, I don't know what the fuck. So the song list.
A perfectly safe and harmless environment there, like a stream and a bear.
Yeah,
safe environment
for
humans.
On this plastic, I wonder how much this hurt the environment. But the song list goes, Tree on a Truck, Let's Drink a Toast. No More Hiding Away, Peanut Butter, Mother. Now, that one was pretty funny. Mother Earth. America Slept. That was, oh, God. My Name is Norm. That's like some local Seattle politics from 1997. Peacemaker. And, of course, the next song, Iraq Attack. High on the Mountain, Getting Ugly, and the opening song was Corporation Song, which is his longest work here because he just is a gigantic dildo. Now, here was the thing that was really funny.
If you're feeling tortured that I let it play for that long, it goes on for almost 7 minutes, and I faded it out early just to spare all your eardrums out there.
Oh, dude, this guy, every one of his songs sounds pretty much the same. Just real rinky, tinky, 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 dildo, 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 dildo. I was listening. I made my wife listen to this on the way home.
wow. Listen to it. Listen.
You have to see. This is what you have to – this is the milieu that, you know, you're more likely to deal with because you're a woman. And he sounds like Weird Al.
He does.
And the funny thing is I'm like, oh, God, it's another fucking song about Iraq. And he's talking about the war. And, of course, my wife, she was saying – no, this is actually from 1997. And I thought it was really funny. It's like, you know, the dildos really haven't changed a whole lot. Like, all of the complaints are still the exact same thing. Like, there's a GMO song in there.
It's like,
really? I think that's the peanut butter one, where it's like, oh, we're doing all this stuff, and we're genetically modifying the food, and it's...
Does he specifically talk about GMO? Because I think that's relatively new. I mean, of course, obviously, any stupid...
No, late 90s.
...from Seattle is going to be like, oh, don't touch my pure natural food, as if that means anything.
No, that was going on in the late 90s. I remember in Boston in 98 or 99, I walked by a anti-GMO rally. I'm like, what's that mean? What's a Frankenfood? So it was there.
Yeah.
Seattle was kind of the
Yeah, Seattle point. Is like really the forefront of dildos. It's like the the vanguard of dildocracy is coming out of Seattle. The Iraq...
Recently increased their minimum wage. It's on track to increase to $15 an hour, and I guess we'll see how that works out.
I read something that San Francisco had done that.
Yeah,
was it San Francisco or Seattle? I don't
Seattle
know.
Seattle did something with one of their public employees union. Something about, I don't know. There's that scale has to do with public employees in Seattle.
I know what the thing that happened last year in Seattle was there was actually a town outside of Seattle. I can't remember what it's called, and it's specifically, it's like the airport is there. And the $15 an hour wage specifically applied to like airport. It was like 50,000 people were covered by it. Huh. So it wasn't a whole city of Seattle. It was like airport employees and like a few other businesses around the airport. They had to pay at least $15 an hour.
Crazy.
So what was the name of this musician again?
His name's Johnny Hahn. Now, if you look him up on Google, I mean, the guy is just like the epitome of like leftist white trash.
Yeah.
Because that is a demo. Leftist white trash. You know, the guys have the ponytail and they have the patchouli oil and all that shit.
I was lucky enough to have never heard of it up until now. And then...
I have wrecked your day.
Yeah, then you introduced me. And just by his voice, it's like, you know what, I'm not even really that mad at him, but I just wanted to punch him. He's sound.
The album has this following, and I, of course,
oh, you have
while we were driving
this home
and I was subjecting my wife to this, she started reading this. And I started laughing. I was like, this has to go on tonight's show. It has to. So I've sent you – you got it, right? Seven.
Oh, is that what she read? Okay.
Okay, so before you start, here's the preface. The following is the text of a note I found tacked to a bulletin board at Seattle's Pike Place Public Market early in 1997. The message seemed important to me, and I was compelled to make a copy in order to remember it.
Today, seven generations later, you turn to us as your own culture is failing. The land you took from us, tricked us out of, is becoming too poison to feed you. Your rivers and streams are dying. I wonder, why do you turn to us now? Is it because through it all, we never stopped praying, never stopped beating our drums, dancing and singing songs to the Creator? And that somehow, you couldn't silence us.
What are you talking about? You were all dead. You're as quiet as you can be.
Are we asking?
We all can gather. We're talking about, you know, whatever the, what's the correct term? Native Americans?
Corn
niggers. Indians.
I call them
some
that.
Woman that.
Corn niggers.
Yeah, I guarantee you that message was not written by a Native American.
Yeah, of course. It was a white woman.
No, of course not.
Well, it'll be somebody who's like, you know, 1/8 but they're Indian presenting when it's convenient for their narrative.
I mean, like, I love all the Elizabeth Warren's false projecting on it, and I like that this guy was stupid enough to believe it was beautiful. The land's poison, the food's it's better than it was when you were here.
Exactly.
We made it better. Poison. There's more forestry. Everything's healthier. Everything's better.
I'm just glad.
We outsourced all of the bad stuff. White people run an empire. We outsource all of the bad stuff.
The part that makes me the most, I don't know, confused is her. And now you turn to us? What are you talking about?
Who's turning to
engines? You're an alcoholic sitting there doing nothing.
We turn to you when we need to play like cards because we're not
allowed
to.
Please save us.
We turn to you when we need like
do the rain dance, please.
We turn to you when we need like kitschy Southwest themed art for like our new house in like Mesa, Arizona.
We turn to you for the slot machines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When Atlantic City is too far away, there's always that shithole in Connecticut.
But that's sort of a good segue. I guess we'd also want to talk about, oh, well, so you're against immigration? Well, then talk to the Native Americans about it.
Right, it's such a
because they homesteaded and they had a nation with laws, right? And we came here through some kind of due process, or they actually just fucking roamed around.
So what
happens if you have no borders? Apparently, I did not know that.
That's like the funny thing about it, right? So you see, I mean, I even put up a thing about this on the site on Thanksgiving. You see, like, and it's always the worst around Thanksgiving, right? Because Swipples have like this fucking
Thanksgiving and Columbus Day, basically.
Yeah. Thanksgiving and Columbus Day are the days they do it, and they have like this inborn like need, like just instinctual need to just use these days as platforms to like signal their superior social awareness. So you saw like all over social media Thanksgiving. I'm sure everybody saw it on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, whatever the hell else you look at. All these memes, all these people saying, oh, what about the Indians we massacred? Let's think about them. Or, hey, I'm enjoying this turkey on like the skeletons of a million natives or something, you know, something like that. And it's such, oh, God.
Bullshit.
It's such bullshit, but it's also their motives are such bullshit.
And I love the fairy tale that Thanksgiving is. Oh, when we got here as little white illegal aliens, they came and they brought us corns and turkeys for us to eat, and that's Thanksgiving. It's like no. Thanksgiving was when the old pilgrims finally got the hang of this place, and they produced so much they had extra and invited Chief Runs with to come eat with them. So fuck you, Swipples.
After they had I think the colony almost failed because they experimented with a communistic kind of organization.
Yeah, everything was going to go into a common. This is a.
Well, also, if we're talking about the pilgrims, they also didn't actually bring very much to help them survive during the winter. They just made a lot of poor choices, and that's why it ultimately failed.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the Jamestown colony, nobody actually knows what happened to it. It just disappeared. That was like the first settlement in North America, and nobody actually knows what happened.
The first.
I thought
there was already somebody
Croatoan.
Here. What do you mean, the first?
What probably happened is they're massacred by Indians. Either that or they all died over a harsh winter or something like that.
I think aliens probably did that.
It wasn't aliens.
How do we know it wasn't aliens?
One of the funnier theories might be a digression. One of the funnier theories about that is that they had, you guys know what Urgot of Rai is? I know Alex knows.
Yeah, yep. Of course I know.
There's a theory and you're eating that all day. There's a theory they got ergot in their rye, and it's basically like it's basically the same as LSD. So the idea is, and if they might have gotten it in their rye crop, and then they all just started fucking tripping balls, and then they couldn't do anything, so they all died out. Like, that's actually a theory. I mean, it's more something that people probably want to believe.
I'm gonna go with that one.
They didn't become one with the Earth Mother and then live in perfect harmony with, you know, the native country for the next several decades.
They discovered unobtainium and then went with the blue people.
What if they?
Yeah, you don't know that they didn't do that.
Maybe they just assimilated so well that they just became another tribe of corn hickers.
As soon as they took the psychedelic drug, they realized the way of the Native American was superior and assimilated into their culture.
They realized that the wheel is a symbol of white patriarchy, that they don't need the wheel. They can just pull things around on skiffs, and that'll be okay.
So, you guys ever tried DMT?
Oh, God. No, I haven't.
You mean the spirit molecule?
The enlightener of enlighteners.
Pouring beer into my third eye.
I think the TRS needs to get some money together, and we're going to travel to Peruvia.
Oh, I thought you meant to Joe Rogan's house.
No, we're going to go to some South American country, and we're going to do ayahuasca.
Okay.
Are we going to economically fix one of those countries while we're there with helicopter rides and cool sunglasses?
Because we don't want to colonize the natives at all. We just want to have an authentic experience of pure spirituality.
That's what we're going to do with our donations, right?
Yeah. Did we get anything?
While we kind of digression, I mean, did
yeah,
we get
got
anything?
Some feedback. Do we got any donations to go with it, or are we just reading empty hollow words now? Is there any cash behind these words?
I actually have to bring that screen up. So,
well, while you're doing that,
while
you're doing that, I'll read some. We got a really nice piece of feedback here. Prometheus Chesterfield writes to us, "Love the show, and I just wanted you to know that there are at least two people in this world who furiously fap while listening to the Daily Show, and more specifically, Mr. Enoch's voice. That is all. So it's good to know that this whoever this isn't just fapping, but he's fapping with a buddy.
I feel pretty weird about that.
It's mutual fapping.
So there you
I
go.
I just wanted to assume that was a female. I mean, I just, for my own.
Well, we'll just end it there. Let's let it just
I mean, I don't.
We'll move on.
Yeah. I also think that he thought your voice was mine or someone else's voice.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have a pretty
clearly,
voice.
It was my voice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
There's another one. There's another thing in here. Meow Mix. He sent us some numbers on taxes and the rich paying more than their fair share. I don't think we need to talk about that here. I think I'm going to pull that up. I think I might shitpost that on the blog this week and talk about it a little bit because it's pretty cool. It's nothing that you don't already know. It's just stuff you can.
Was the guy who sent the email, was he trying to convince us of that position or something?
No, he's just
being helpful. It's some nice new graphs that you can show to the shitposting cat ladies when you're in a debate group.
I see.
Oh, it's more stuff that they can believe doesn't exist, right?
Yeah, it's a CBO it's a CBO study, which they love more than anything.
Wait, that's controlled by the Koch brothers though, right?
No, the CBO is the Congressional Budget Office. I don't think the Koch brothers have control of that yet.
I think if that study indicates the rich pay their fair share, that's evidence that there's some Koch influence involved.
It actually infers that nobody
in the bottom 50% pays anything.
Yeah, basically it says the rich pays everybody's share, aside from their own.
That's definitely Koch funded.
And of course, in the United States, the top 50% of the population is the rich. I mean, because actually by world standards, it is.
And then Nemo writes in again to, I don't know, he wrote in a while back about sending us some articles about Britain.
Yeah.
And wrote in to bug us again. We already had the Marquise on to talk about that, but we would appreciate some literature from you, Nemo, if you still want. We just got to get in touch with you.
Now, one reason that I wanted to bring up donations is public page actually received feedback. From a gentleman from Scotland that sent us, he sent in the email or the PM that he was going to send a donation. So that's why I kind of wanted to mention it.
All right. Well, I have two donations here that came through in the last week. I don't know if any names want to be mentioned.
Like, I mean, if you do first names, I'll be able to identify them.
Both of them were named John.
Oh.
Okay. But the
John from Scotland. Sorry.
The first one's name is. I think it might be a play on a friend of ours, but I'm not going to mention. I just don't want to actually mention the guy's name and throw him under the bus. So, John sent $15, and then John S. sent us $15.
$14.88.
Sorry. Then John C. sent us
$14.88.
Oh, good. There we go.
That's a regular. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do
that
anymore.
So now
I've got it all out of my system.
$110.
When can
in
I get
the,
some free shit?
Fund?
Everybody got cool stuff but me. Send me something.
What do you need? Do you need anything?
Nothing. I just want 100. I just want some stuff.
You have all the gear already. We're only getting audio gear.
I'm thinking I'm going to send him some ayahuasca and a Bill Hicks album.
Now, here's the feedback from John C. Hi, lads. Just wanted to say I'm a massive fan of what you do. I just sent a wee donation over as the Daily Show brightens up my Tuesday morning every week. And I hope you go from strength to strength. I don't get what that means, but all the best.
From strength to strength, you bastards!
I've heard that expression before. Can someone else read that in like a Scottish accent?
Oh God, we should get toilet law to do that.
He's really good at that.
He's very good.
Yeah, strength to strength, it just means keep going, keep getting stronger. So, I've heard it. Maybe it's a British thing, but I've heard people say it before.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard that one.
I like it.
So I guess we've got that out of the way. Since the donation thing is kind of a Molly thing that we take, I believe that was a topic we were wanting to go over.
Yeah, today. It seems that it's I believe, Alex, you had said the other day that you can't believe that Molly would think of himself as an anarchist anymore. And I think we've all been also noticing he's been going from kind of like dildo libertarian to he's getting dangerously close to race realism in his narratives.
Yeah, he's definitely become less and less.
He's more than dangerously close. I mean, he's openly flirting with it. Like,
he's the line. When he's bringing up the stats, I mean, that's pretty much seals the deal.
Well, he's got the video
that he is a race realist. He probably couches it in a little bit different terms because of his audience. Like, he wants to sort of, my guess, he wants to sort of ease them in. He's got a lot of dildos in his audience. And I could see people
a lot of
immediately
that's his fault.
Rebelling. Yeah, I mean, he cultivated that audience. But left libertarians have always hated him. I mean, for years, they have hated him because he said bad things about feminism. When he said feminism was like socialism with panties, he got into a lot of shit. They did like an open – so, I mean, whatever issues we have with them and sort of his dildo narratives, particularly all that shit about leaving your family, all that bullshit, he's definitely getting way more open with the crime think recently. And, videos on Ferguson, it's like – yeah, dude, the guy is – I mean, he obviously isn't – I don't know. I mean, he's calling for – he's saying like it's okay to keep out immigrants and like he's not going for like the anti-cop side in this Ferguson thing. Like,
Which would be like you would think that he would be a cop walker. Right, in case somebody's at kind of an outsider, I didn't say his name. We're talking about Stefan Molyneux, Free Domain Radio. We call him Molly. Anyway,
I was like, it's funny because he'll bring up his previous point and sort of acknowledge them, but then he'll move on to he'll be like, yes, government is evil, but as long as we're living underneath it, let's make sure all of these Hispanics are kicked right the fuck out.
But just the title of one of his more recent ones, he didn't just have a video about Ferguson. It was about what pisses me off about the Michael Brown shooting. Like that was an interesting choice of words for a title on a topic that he's, you know.
You're doing like a little bit of Molly's psychoanalysis on him. Like,
well, I see. It's
interesting that you would use the word angry. Why do you use that word?
He seems to be defooing the African-American population. So.
I just think it's funny he practically forgets he's an anarchist and has to remind himself. Like, wait.
There was still a little bit of baggage in a couple. Like he ran through the stats, but then he still had some like I don't know. Just it still had some like bleeding heart to it at an earlier one. I haven't seen the latest one he did, but he
doesn't want to go too far because I mean
it's like he's either easing into it or he's just like picking up on it. I can't decide which one it is.
Yeah, well, he did one on immigration that was, of course, he does like, you know, just like the truth about whatever. And they're really long. So he did like the truth about immigration. I watched. It was like an hour and 20 minutes. And it was all basically honestly, if he just had the fucking honesty to say, like, it's why white people don't want to let themselves be overtaken by mestizos. I mean, that's what it was, you know, and he just didn't use it. He didn't use it in those terms. He was couching it behind like different terms. And then Obama's immigration announcement happened, and that, I guess, triggered him. And then he did another one recently. It was like only 20 minutes where I don't think he really bothered to hide behind the anarchist facade at all. And that one, he was just like, yeah, they're basically importing brown people to drown out the native whites, which is what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, he made the same TRS point that the goal here is to have a new generation of voters going Democrat. And the offspring of those given amnesty are the problem, not the actual individuals currently being allowed to stay.
Yeah,
right.
It's the demographic strategy. So.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, from that perspective, they, you know, unless something drastic happens, they've probably already won I mean, there's already enough. There's already enough kids born here. You know, unless somehow the political will to actually start deporting these people and strip citizenship from them. You know, I'm not optimistic about it. But, you know, it's so far gone at this point that, yeah, white people will no longer be a majority within, what, like 30 years, I think it is? 30 years or so? By the 2040s, 2040s.
Yeah, plurality.
They'll still be a demonized class of races, though, don't worry.
Yeah, we will. I mean, they'll still will be, of course, white people will be on top of everything. They'll still almost have high incomes, good jobs, be inventing everything.
Yeah, be the heads of all the corporations. There will be some eye-opening dildo documentaries sure to come out about the white minority and working together in secret to keep down the...
Yeah, we'll become like Jews. We'll finally become like Jews.
Yeah,
yay!
So before we go any further, I don't know, the latest video that Molly has put up, it's kind of suspicious. I could play the audio for you right now here if you want to check this out.
Thank you, Kinsfolk, for tuning in to the loudest and whitest radio talk show on philosophy in the entire planet. Remember to keep the feral nogs away from your daughters. Don't believe any of the Jewish lies. And Hitler did nothing wrong, even if you take the Holocaust completely out of the picture. For the purity of the race, I'm Stefan Molyneux. Thank you for tuning in to Freedom and Radio.
kind of suspect, kind of outside of, you know, what we're used to hearing from him. So
that's actually not outside at all. I mean, that's pretty much where he's been going these days. I'm not surprised.
I'm not really that surprised either.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, that's to be expected of Stefan.
I kind of feel bad that I fell away from him for a while. I stopped. I'm going to be listening now for sure. I'm going to be subscribing.
You can't follow everything. He puts out hours and hours of material and
So, for anyone who does, I don't know, they're probably very terrible people.
Yeah, anyone that's, you know, I was like a Molyneux hipster. Like, I was listening to the podcast back when it was in, like, the below 100 numbers. But it's, you know, I was listening to him, like, a long, long time ago. And he was still, like, just full-on ANCAP then. And I just got bored with it because it's basically the same thing over and over.
Yeah, that's what ANCAP is. Once you get to, and you level up so far and it's just the same shit over and over.
Yeah, you can't go much further.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it gets really boring. It gets, and you can reach that very, very fast.
Yeah, it does not take long.
Yeah, and it gets really boring. And I noticed him again with the George Zimmerman thing when I saw his Truth About George Zimmerman video, which made it easier for him to still pose as still an anarchist because there was no state official involved in that.
Yeah, he was good on that. He was all over that with the race.
That was really good. And I was like, whoa, hey, Molly, what's going on here? I mean, it made sense that that's the side he would choose even then based on his previous philosophical background. But yeah, I, you know, hesitate to say philosophical. But anyway, you know what we're saying.
1488, hope you're doing well. So speaking of...
Thank you, white brothers and sisters, for tuning in to Freedom and Radio.
1488 Domain Radio. The largest white power radio station on the internet.
If there are any Jews in your life, you must defu.
Defu. Defu the Jew.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
It's too fun. So while we're on the subject.
Do you think it's time we jump onto the Jewish question? I mean, we kind of have.
I think that would take an entire.
That's got to be its own show. I don't think we're even.
We don't need to get
for that.
My Zogmasters have not given me intel on what I'm supposed to say about that yet.
Yeah. I was going to say my script from my masters.
we just with Black Friday already passed us, and it's going to be Cyber Monday by the time you hear this. We decided we put together a little holiday shopping guide for the lovely leftists in your life. Let's take a listen.
Always looking to help out with the stress of the holiday season, the marketing team at TRS has whipped up yet another shopping guide to help you find just the right thing for the white people in your life. Last time, we covered a selection of essentials for any alienated, rebellious teenage anarchist you may know. This time, we have researched the hottest items of the season for that extra special 20-something, angst-ridden, tree-hugging, earth-worshipping hippie in your family. First, Kangen water. Playing the sitar and dancing in a stoned haze to reggae music builds up a powerful thirst. And the best way to quench it is with ionized, non-GMO Kangen water, produced by Enagic USA Incorporated. Impress your friends by drinking the most popular pseudoscientific product consumed in Japan by actual real-life Asian people speaking a foreign language. Discover alkaline water today. The Leveluck SD501 water ionizer is only $3,980 at Enagic.com. Act now. Up next, books on shamanism. The best way to display a sense of mock spirituality and oneness with the universe is to leave a book on shamanism on the coffee table at a casually deliberate angle to house guests. The Shaman's Market is your number one stop on the internet for purchasing Carlos Castaneda literature, like Fire from Within, or The Teaching of Don Juan, A Yaki Way of Knowledge, available for only $15. Don't forget to peruse the market for any number of sacred items, guaranteed to signal you are as close to having a deep connection with the divine as any pretentious white person could possibly be. I personally suggest authentic Buddhist prayer flags for $6, or a genuine alpaca Peruvian poncho for only $325. Buy them before your neighbor demonstrates his superior harmony with the universe first. Moving on. Need a little Santa's helper of your own? Let's face it, you can never have too many water bongs, especially since your clumsy, unshaven girlfriend continually knocks them over onto your collection of authentic Chinese statuary, spilling 6-month-old reeking bong fong and broken glass all over the floor and potentially ruining your Tibetan prayer mat. Pick up a new bong, hookah, or water pipe from Amazon.com's vast selection of totally not illegal marijuana paraphernalia. Last but not least on our list, top it off with Bill Hicks' irreverent and socially conscious comedy material that regurgitates basic liberal talking points with a hefty injection of faux spiritualism and speaks truth to power. Or something. The Bill Hicks Essential Collection is on sale right now for only $41.45 with your Amazon Prime membership. Listen to Hicks rant against marketing and capitalism with your family this holiday season. Spiritual awakening and countercultural chic are all the rage this holiday season. Don't miss out on these amazing deals this Black Friday. Wait, is that racist?
Very good.
Wow. That's amazingly professional.
Now, I read my script from the Koch brothers, and they want us to talk about Ferguson now since we just kind of broached the subject.
I don't know what else there is.
Well, it's just that it's over. It's fucking over.
Like, I don't think there's going to be
any. We could talk about how the left is inventing more and more ridiculous narratives.
Well, yeah, that's what I want to talk about is now, yeah. You know, you guys have mentioned.
But there's new stuff now? What is that?
No, it's just total. Not there was context denial. Now there's just complete denial of all reality. It's,
like, do you mean what? Like what?
Just blatant lying and misinformation.
The final thing. All the physical evidence came out, and I think the Washington Post wrote it up. And this is the response to it from the true believers: is, oh, here you have selected evidence that supports your narrative. It's like, no, this is the physical evidence that goes with the story that they've told the entire time.
Of course. I mean, like, these people aren't even worth talking about at this point. It's so over and done with.
It's just funny that they're just so...
All physical evidence supports the fucking cop, right?
What I find interesting is this. Like, they object to the grand jury's decision to not indict. And then you ask them, okay, well, what specifically did the grand jury do that you disagree with? Like, what evidence do they not hear? Or what evidence do they fail to interpret correctly? And there's never actually a specific answer to that query.
Yeah, everything in that same conversation, anything that they bring up is just, well, there was a lot of evidence.
It's like, yeah, there was a lot of evidence, all right.
Yeah.
It's also all publicly available.
It is.
I'm sure there's one piece that, like, I'm sure there's one thing that will completely conform to my biases and will tear everything else down.
The only thing that was completely in favor of the Dindu position was eye testimony that was proved impossible by the physical evidence later. And then they were like, ah, well, I mean, I guess I sort of made it up.
It's just, it's amazing how, all right, the way I've looked at it this whole time is like, yeah, it's funny to troll people that can't let go of the narrative that it has to be white cop murdering black. It's like, but for me, like, it didn't have to be, like, if Darren Wilson was a psycho just murderer, just wanted to kill a black man for no fucking reason, like, if that's actually what happened, like, I almost would be like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't need him to be defending himself justifiably killing Mike Brown. Like, it literally meant nothing to me, like, ideologically, you know what I'm saying? But to them, it's like, they can't let it go that, yeah, this happened, sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, the position of a lot of people initially was not that the cop was innocent, it was just that there wasn't currently enough information to say that he was guilty.
Right.
And they were rustled by that. Like, that triggered the shit out
of
them.
If there was any kind of thing that came out within those few days that said, like, if there was, like, say, the surveillance video of him just gunning the guy down like a nutcase, be like, oh, okay, well, that's a bad cop. At least they got it on video and he's gone now. Good. You know, it's like, I don't need him to be innocent for my worldview to be safe.
Right. It's not essential to our narrative for that, for like, okay, if there is some racist killer cop, I doubt that there is, but it's not like an essential part of my personal ideology.
Their worldview also isn't safe. They really want to pretend that this happened the way that they want it to. I mean, but it doesn't matter when you actually look at FBI statistics or you know, anything that, you know, any model for social interaction. I mean, the data is against you, but it doesn't matter how much you plug your ears, how much you shout and wave fucking communist flags at Dindu rallies.
On the matter of statistics, I did want to talk about this one thing that happened this week. We were talking to our communist friend, who hopefully will become a guest on this show. He almost agreed to it, but then his Adderall prescription ran out, and he had to crash. So, you know, we'll see. I mean,
when it runs out,
he's extremely high time preference. He's hooked on speed, so we'll see what happens.
Jesus Christ.
So we're talking to him. We were talking. That might be too much information. So we were talking to him, and he's like hanging on to this whole narrative tight. It was actually in the context of the new Dindu shooting of the 12-year-old kid that
waving that damn gun around.
That was like pointing the gun at people, was pointing it at the police, and got shot. And of course, the police released. This is why I'm in favor of body cameras, because I honestly
think it's not a bad idea.
If there is footage of these interactions, it will take the wind out of the sails of these of the dildo narrative very fast, because it took the wind out of the sails of this narrative very fast. It was like, oh my god, police shoot 12-year-old kid, but then the video shows a kid actually, you know, reaching for a gun-looking object at his waist when the police were telling him not to. Like, and you don't do that. If it looks like a gun and you reach for it, they're going to shoot you. You don't do that. He was pointing it at other people. They tell you to put your hands up, and the police officer will come over you and relieve you of the weapon on your belt. You don't get to do it yourself. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's like, so easy to just do what they say. It's easy to not get killed by the cops.
And granted, like, the 12-year-old...
If you have agency, it's easy.
Yeah, I guess that's the difference.
You know, it sucks because it's, okay, it's a 12-year-old kid. That actually is sad, even though he was a Dindu. but he didn't... There was no circumstance in which it could have happened. It was on him, and he may or may not have agency, and so what can you do? You know, it's just something that happened.
He's not a toddler. He's 12 years old.
Right. I mean,
and he was walking around trying to make people – I mean, he was pointing it at people to scare them.
Yeah, he was trying to scare people.
He was trying to get people to believe that the toy he had was actually a real gun. He succeeded in convincing people that, and so the police treated it accordingly, and oops-a-daisy, turns out pointing a – what looks like a gun at a police officer is actually probably going to get a bullet in your stomach.
And wasn't it one of these orange-tipped pellet guns, and he had taken the orange tip off?
Actually looked at it, I mean, if you were looking at it from a distance and he was being pointed at you, you would...
Looks like a pistol.
Yes, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be squinting at it. Let's see here. Is that?
Yeah. It's not like it's unheard of for a 12-year-old to have a gun, particularly in Dindu territory, a young Dindu with something that looks like a gun, sure, why not? I mean, even a young white. I mean, there's school shootings that happens, right? I mean, not that whites, well, whatever. We can get into the whole demographics of school shootings.
I like to conveniently forget that young people in the United States occasionally murder en masse with firearms. I forget that whenever it conflicts with my current narrative.
Yeah, the fact that a 12-year-old black kid with a gun-looking thing actually could very, very well have a real gun. That doesn't fit into
only white ones.
Denver, I so just conveniently erased any possibility of that.
He was just a kid. He was just playing. Come on.
Just playing, shooting at the cops. It's
so annoying to me. It's like it's they don't have any – like a leftist has no consistent anything. And it's it's so annoying, and we always run up on it, and they're always shifting because they don't have anything consistent. Like the only thing that they consistently rely on are appeals to authority. That's all they have.
Well, what you're looking for, I think the word you're looking for is a shelling point. Like, what's their shelling point, right? It's not, I'm going to go with what the evidence says. It's not like the shelling point is whites are evil and racist, and it literally is that simple.
And we deserve it.
And so their reactions to these incidents has to be, you know, they will shift it so it fits that narrative. They're not they don't go like for us. I think I doubt the police shoot down 12-year-olds, but if you show me a video of it happening, I'll believe it. Like they won't, you know what I mean? Like for them, it so has to be a racist cop just shot a 12-year-old black kid for the hell of it.
It doesn't matter what point you make to they'll somehow. Like you could even point out how fucking awful this little Dindu's parents were, obviously. But that doesn't matter because the only reason you have good parents and they don't is because white privilege and it all goes back to colonialism or something.
Parents. Parent.
Yeah. Implying
biological father.
Male role model. It's actually the last thing that they need. They need more Earth Mother goddesses guiding them on the path of spiritual truth.
Oh, speaking
more
of
drum circles.
Speaking of.
Oh wait, before we move on to anything else.
Oh, okay.
The one thing that I actually didn't even get to the point of this whole thing that we were talking about, which is the point of it was what this communist guy showed me as a way to back up his theory of like white supremacy was this study, right? So he links me to this study. It's called it's called something like every 28 hours.
Yes.
And it's like every 28 hours a black man is killed by police in the U.S. So the stats were from 2012 and the numbers were 313 shootings of black men by police in 2012. So I was like, that's plausible, you know, but the question there is, are these shootings justified or not? And he's throwing all these stats from like the blurb about the study at me. He's like, you know, 43% of the time they were unarmed and 43% of them were racial profiling. I was like, okay, so out of 313, like 43%, they didn't have a gun. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not a threat. And how do you prove it's racial profiling? And he's like, he basically begged the question on whether it's racial profiling. It's racial profiling because they didn't have a weapon. So it's like, you know, and like supposedly they act suspicious or whatever. And I was like, this all sounds just like a crock of shit. So I actually downloaded this study, the PDF of it. I'll link to it. We can link to it in the text for this post. And I started looking through it. I'm reading. I'm like, okay, so I was like, I actually want to find out if in fact, because the idea is that these are all unjustified shootings. But in fact, what they did was just calibrated, like tabulated all the shootings of a black person by a white person that year. I mean, that's quite literally what it was. Because if you read the fine print, it wasn't just police. It was actually police and security guards and vigilantes. And I realize this as I'm reading down the incidents and I'm looking at the short description. And most of them are like carjacker steals car, crashes car, gets out of the car, shoots at the police that are chasing him, police kill him. I mean, like a surprising number of them are like exactly that. I'm like, okay, so what the fuck are you complaining about? Like this is systemic racism in action. But then I get to one. It was like so-and-so Billy Bob, some redneck name, and his brother Jimmy Joe like go out with a shotgun and like gun down like three blacks, like literally just in cold blood, gun them down. Right. Oh, wow. And then it was like, they were arrested and have been charged with three counts of first degree murder and are being held without bond. And I was like, wait. Cause, and at this time I thought it was all still police murders or killings. And I was like, wait, what? So So then I'm like, dude, what the hell is this? How does this have anything to do with police? And he's like, it has to do with systemic white oppression. And I was like, are you kidding me? He's like, vigilante deaths are a significant part of black oppression from white privilege. And I was like, dude, are you fucking kidding me? I thought this was a document about police killings. I completely plausible that police shot 313 black men in 2012. Totally plausible. Never mind the fact that blacks probably shot, you know, somewhere between 4 and 7,000.
The numbers from a 2007 U.S. Bureau of Justice statistic.
Actually is the year.
Well, this is the one I'm pulling up. It's 2007. Well,
either way.
It's blacks were victims of 7,999 homicides in 2005 and that 93% were killed by people who shared their race.
Yeah.
Oops.
You're right. So, yeah, I mean, and I actually did look at
that's the also white people's fault, though, so.
Right. I actually did go look at the 2012 stats, and there were 4,203 convicted murders of blacks by blacks, and there were 14,000 some odd murders in the whole year, so we can guess that it was probably around 7,000 for the whole year, given the numbers that weren't caught and convicted. So it's like, that's actually one every hour and 15 minutes. So let's put out a study. Every hour and 15 minutes, a black is killed by another black. And it was amazing to me that he was including, like, and this was like this one case that I ran across, blatant racist murder, okay? Like, I can say that. That doesn't hurt my narrative to say that. Like, these were two rednecks that went out and killed three blacks because they wanted to. And they confessed to that, and they're going to go to jail for life. So it's like, and this is the systemic racism. The system punished them. And then, like, most of the cases with the cops is like one case was like, okay, so they're transporting a suspect from one detention facility to another. He somehow gets free, stabs one of the cops to death, drives away in the patrol car, and then the other cops shot him. And it was like, the funniest thing in the margin, they have little notes, and it was like the note on that one was like, the grand jury ruled no excessive force used. And I was like, yeah, considering he just stabbed
that
his
had guy. To go to a fucking grand jury. Yeah, that is systemic racism to me.
I know. Yeah. I was actually like, at first I was annoyed, and then I just started laughing at this pathetic attempt. And of course, the group that did this so-called study was something called the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. And so it's just funny. And I'll link to the study, and you can look at it. So first of all, there's like bad grammar. There's spelling mistakes.
There's no
significant math done. The only kind of math in the whole thing is percentages. like taking that 313 number and then whatever like a sub number is, like 57% weren't armed. And this number, and like, so all they someone figured out how to take two numbers and get a percentage. But other than that, there's like zero mathematical analysis or graphing or charting in the whole thing. It's actually,
that's probably the one black Jew that they had.
Yeah, it was Adria Richards. But no, I mean, it's funny, and it was pathetic that this white middle class communist was reading this and taking it seriously. And
there was couple things you said in there that I like to reiterate was, number one, you mentioned that they always throw out there the unarmed thing. These are unarmed. It's like, yep, they have to get through their skull. It's not a 1v1, you know, match. It doesn't matter what they're armed with. If they're threatening you and you're armed with something better, it's the untouchables. It's just like a wop to bring a knife to a gunfight. You're allowed to fucking shoot the guy that has the knife, or the guy that's using his fists, or the guy that's behind the wheel of a car. It doesn't matter
There are plenty of movies where, like, the threatening male is looming over the female, and she's able to shoot him. You know, I mean, it's like a person can be killed with their bare hands.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what advantage you have. That's what the whole point of weapons are, is they're equalizers in situations like that. The other thing in your analysis there that's interesting is, I like that, you know, we have these rednecks that just went out and decided to kill some fucking niggers just for fun, and we can just
what I do on the weekend.
But we can just struggle
every weekend. I go out and I kill me some niggers.
But all joking aside, nobody here feels like the need to defend them.
Yeah,
like,
I don't have any,
like, none of us has. But when you have niggers running around shooting white boys, shooting anybody.
Now, I do defend them upstanding young men getting rid of niggers out of this damn town.
Damn it! I knew I couldn't get this point out with this guy on the air with me.
I just want to say I support what they did.
So, like, vigilante deaths. I don't know. It just sounds weird. Even like
right,
white, I mean, vigilante, like, groups. That sounds something out of a fucking dildo fiction.
But like, I'm just putting out there that say, let's take Mike Brown, since he's the, you know, well, or the 12-year-old kid. Anyway, if either one of them had like murdered four cops on their way to their final destination, they would still be like political symbols of oppression. Like, it, for some reason, like the black quote unquote community, as we like to talk about it, they have to
community.
They have to defend the worst among them. Like, they can't. It's like, why can't you just leave the worst of you behind and be like, ah, fuck that guy? No, it's always
because the way the curve of that demographic is set up, it's the exceptional. The exceptional is just barely baseline, to be quite honest. Other than your far outliers, you're not dealing with a whole lot. It's a very shallow pool.
You're projecting white values and agency.
Shit.
I mean, that's a fucking mistake. I mean, I'm sorry. I hate to say it. I mean,
yeah, you're right.
All of us know, like, a white presenting black that actually is, you don't realize actually kind of like how far of an outlier they are.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a difficult thing not to do. And
difficult to kind of, I mean, one thing that's completely left our collective consciousness is Ebola. You know, you think of where the hot zones were. It's like Liberia that was established by slaves that were freed, sent over there, given this land and sent all this foreign aid. There's shit in the streets. There's videos online of them just going out because they don't know how to into plumbing. They go out to the beach. They shit on the beach. They cover it like cats. You see kids running around with human feces, and then they have the Ebola, and that's pretty much that's them into civilization, sort of, kind of. I mean, black ball will never into space, and this is what we're going to have to deal with as long as we have them in our civilization.
Right. There, it's just,
and that's why we have to. That's why even us dealing with it, we have to kind of cut through dissonance. We have to kind of do a little.
Yeah.
We have to navigate through all the winding white bullshit that we teach ourselves that somehow this is all our fault. And it's not.
And
I mean, we can't until we can like transhumanize them into being white.
The other thing that we have to do somewhat is to put aside our intra white value system, like the way we would all treat each other. And I mean, this is obvious because when desegregation happened is when things actually really started to go south. When integration happened, that's when the real big problems in the black community started coming up. And so obviously integration hasn't been good for either group. So we sort of need to, and we were trained to have this idea. It's a very white concept and it works fine. Intra white or intra people with agency that, you know, can do civilization. It works fine and it's even positive, but it's like it just doesn't work. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And, you know, our friend Colin Liddell from South Africa, I was talking with him a little bit over the weekend, and he had a few comments. And he was like, I am from the one country in the world that solved the problem, and the West deconstructed it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, granted, Africans are different. They're still one rung lower than American blacks, but look at Detroit, look at Newark. I mean, that's what happens. And it's unfortunate. I don't know. There's nothing that we can do about it until we adjust how we even approach the subject, though.
Baltimore, Cincinnati, Memphis. I mean, the list would go on. Flint.
Gary.
Yep. I mean, Gary. And what's going to happen to Ferguson? Like, what's going to happen now is it's going to become like a Newark. It's going to be a dead zone.
What's great about Ferguson is a fucking suburb. That's what, like, how much does your fucking city sucks when this happens to your suburb?
Yeah, I mean, Ferguson doesn't, shit. From the video I've seen, it didn't actually look that bad. It didn't look like the middle of Newark. It didn't look like Gary. It didn't look like Detroit.
Imagine Newark out in now. Yeah, imagine Newark out in Bergen County. Like, that's what they're doing. It's like fucking, like, white flight is really having to
And that's the funny thing, and this is kind of
Ferguson. Kind of Ferguson was like 80% white up until the mid-90s,
right?
And
right.
I can't remember what, like, the New York Times did a whole study on this and then how the demographic shift happened, but that's why it still looks nice and there's still like a lot of nice businesses there.
Well, now they've knocked out.
Not anymore, but yeah.
But I mean, this is the thing that I kind of, where TRS is at the forefront of, is we kind of are we're pointing out that. One reason that we're kind of seeing the left getting so ridiculous, like so mega retard about all this stuff, is the reality is that the only way that their narrative works is if they implement very reactionary systems. For instance, the only way that they can have their little liberal utopian urban area is they've got to gentrify neighborhoods, and they've got to find a way to keep the feral nogs segregated. And, I mean, basically using the market to implement segregation. And that's what they're doing. That's what they have been doing. And, I mean, even though they're projecting all this bullshit and they're wanting to blame Whitey, I mean, they're wanting to kind of keep the blame off of themselves, because the fact of the matter is their narrative runs things and they're still doing these things. You know, mm-hmm. what's happening mm-hmm. is the black continues to disempower himself. Like, that's the inevitable thing, is they continue to marginalize themselves within yeah. their own community.
And they're getting encouragement from it for yeah. in doing so from these self-hating whites.
And who we're also, brain-draining them.
Yeah. Well, that's actually one of my theories about why integration was so bad for them, is that there is a top tier of the blacks in the United States that can successfully integrate, and given the chance, given desegregation, given legal integration, they can now separate.
They can join.
They don't have to deal. Yeah. They can join Whitey.
They can join the white flight.
I don't blame them for doing it.
Yep.
What I mean? I understand why you would want to do it. And just, I'm not putting any value on this or not. I'm just saying this is what happened. That group separated and became integrated into white society. It's not a very large group, but does exist. The blacks are no longer under their tutelage anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, they can rise up to becoming president. I mean, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, they can even do that. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think Barack Obama was particularly,
he's not that vibrant at all.
Yeah, he's not very, I mean, he's really white presenting, like super white presenting, in some ways more white presenting than some people on this show.
But, I object to that aspersion being cast on my character by
you immediately assumed I was talking about you.
Oh, man.
The only one you had to warn, dude, don't sell your mic for crack, bro.
But that's the thing. That's where we're going. Is, we now that we have new playthings, now that the narrative has new playthings in the homo sex and the brown immigrant from the South, all they need to do really is just have black people do their little hijinks. We can wring our hands about, white people, and meanwhile they continue to marginalize themselves. I mean, Planned Parenthood will be nearby. That's about it. That's the story. That is the ignominious end of the Negro. That is the end of peak Negro. They get to destroy some cities. Whatever. We'll move to Seattle. We'll swippleize it. It'll be great.
Well, I mean, technically, the reproductive rates have actually fallen a lot in the black community. So it is true.
I think that's hit the mestizos as well.
It's all because of white people, though.
Good. At least we're doing something right. Shit.
Oh, it's our fault. We need to get them to squirt out babies faster, and we need to stop having as many babies.
Shit, I feel like we need to check
our privilege.
What's the name of that nurse? Abortion.
Ebola nurse?
Katie Hickox.
No, that's Ebola nurse. No. The one that came up with the idea that abortion should be promoted to black communities.
Nurse Ratched.
Margaret Sanger?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Margaret Sanger.
Nurse Ratched.
One last thing on Ferguson I want to hit is everybody's favorite pedophile pizza delivery grown man, Brad Spangler, writes that riot damage and cockroach caucuses in a post elsewhere in the topic of riot damage. Sorry, I can't keep doing that voice.
No, you can't.
Which has since been removed. I made some comments over the origin of this post. Let's not forget that while small business has negligible influence and subsidies at the national level, they are precisely the ones who control every local government. They are the micro ruling class for all things local in that municipality. I'm not saying everybody deserved what they got.
But that's what I'm saying.
But I'm totally saying that, though. But chances are there's a lot less injustice with regard to retail damage than the naive may think. To clarify, police departments are part of a local government, just as the national government is a front for defense industries, big pharma, and so on. Local governments answer to a cockroach caucus of local real estate developers, property management and companies, and other influential local businesses playing the game of governmental favoritism, subsidy, and restraint of competition that plays out at the national global level, just on a smaller scale.
Can we translate that now? Can I go ahead and translate?
population is I'm a giant fucking failure.
I was just
I hate the world. Disgusting man, and I'm projecting my own powerlessness with this grand narrative, blaming everyone else and some shadowy cabal. They're all working against me.
It's pretty good rationalization for why the random Negro violence was actually a revolutionary act against.
And if you're a hot 15-year-old, please PM me if you like this.
That's how he closed out all of his posts. But yeah, like Alex was saying, it's basically – it's funny because it fits into – he's not like the standard liberal. He's like a liberal that pretends he's got better – he pretends he derived his liberal stances from like a better place than normal liberals.
Well, as a member of the Cockroach Caucus, as a small businessman, I just want to let y'all in on how much City Hall listens to me and does my bidding and how much
–
Oh, well, let me tell you about my retail damage. I sometimes require a black person to spend at least $15 before they whip out their credit card, or debit card, I should say.
Oh, shit.
I don't take EBT cards.
Oh,
I mean, wow. You know.
Didn't one time a cop refuse to remove a Mexican from your property?
Well, what happened?
That might be too specific.
No, that's fine. No, I'll tell this story.
What happened was...
It wasn't that. It was there was a Mexican urinating in my parking lot.
Wow.
Oh.
And
they
was
do
a,
that.
And
they do that.
I know.
This.
And I waved the cop over. I waved the cop over and said, I just said to him, like, what the fuck? Look, do you see this? He's like, what do you want me to do about it? Because they know that he's got no ID and no money. They can't haul him in and make any – I don't want to get too –
They can't
statutes.
Deport him.
They can't deport him. It's New York. They're not going to deport him. And they can't
–
it's going to cost them more to bring him in and hold on to him than it is to get any – so it's like, there you go. But, you know, God forbid I go out there and beat the shit out of him like I wanted to. But, they'd haul my ass in. But, you know,
one of my greatest shames, you know, since
Jethro came by later and we took care of him.
Well, that's why you need protection rackets out there, but I digress.
It's free market defense.
Yes.
I believe
that's
what we call it.
I think Molly needs to have an article on this. Yeah, Molly needs a video on this, like free market defense firms against illegals.
Right. Where can I buy public urination insurance?
Me and Jethro will beat up the beaners that are trying to pee outside your establishment.
Vito will come out to you later.
Just another observation from Main Street, USA. In the city where I am, where my business is located, there are other people trying to buy buildings and turn them into other kinds of businesses, and just basically they're trying to put capital into this certain city hasn't been doing great. And the city likes to come around and tell you, this building doesn't have enough parking for what you want to do. So what we're going to need you to do, we're going to need you to buy parking spaces from us.
Oh,
wow.
And okay, and first they send you your applications and they charge you your fee to get your, and then you think you just bought the parking spaces. Like, no, you just paid to apply. Now that we've approved your application, can you pay for the parking spots?
Wow. So
basically, Mr. Spangler, you would know this if you weren't just, if you weren't doing a 16-year-old kid's job. Yeah, if you weren't doing some fucking teenager's job in a small business on Main Street, you would know that Small Business USA Main Street is just a fucking pocketbook. It's a piggy bank for City Hall to whack at to try to get more, as much as they can out without totally driving you out. Because especially if you're in my case where I don't live in the city where I own my business, so I don't get to vote there. I get to provide plenty of revenue and do all kinds of pot, but you know, I don't vote. So,
well, you know, one of my greatest shames before we digress is that there's some quote from Spangler about how the real enemy is the police. And many years ago, I was tagged on that picture, and I've never untagged myself because it's one of those things. It's like a tattoo. It's like a bad memory that you don't want to forget. It's like I never want to go there. But yeah, once upon a time, I was part of that milieu, that group that wanted to blame everything on the other.
It's just funny. I mean, I could go into a whole rant of why left libertarian ideas are wrong, why their economics are fucked up, why their political economic theories are wrong, why their ethics are wrong, but they're just fucking dumpster fires. They're just fucking losers that hate life. And
I mean, Spangler
want any excuse to blame somebody with they're envious fucking.
They're failures.
Losers.
Spangler is typical. He's a 40-something-year-old pizza guy. Not, and actually around here, that's not that much of an insult, but I mean, guys, like delivery guys.
The Zog have actually just sent me a document on how not to get shot by police. I'm looking forward to seeing this on the blog now.
Oh, good.
This applies to vibrant and diverse individuals.
What's now, the key point? Don't be vibrant.
I think it may involve not firing at police officers, even if you've done nothing wrong. Not physically assaulting them, once again, even if you're innocent of doing wrongdoing, just don't assault them.
Yeah.
Just helpful tips like that.
Hand over your ID if they want to see it. It's, you know.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm definitely waiting.
All right.
And coming, I guess one more thing we wanted to mention before we, I guess, wanted to finish was this is something that just came out. She's kind of well known in our circles. Ashley Goldberg, or Goldenberg, whatever. Communism kills. Someone apparently doxed her.
Goldberg! shut it down!
Someone apparently doxed her, and she's been posting pictures of the text message she's getting, like, bitch, you really done tried it. If this is Ashley from Communism Kills, I just want you to know that I hate you, blah, blah. You're going to hell, whatnot. So, It's another Showa, and I know there are some people that kind of want to feel bad about her, and I honestly, I kind of do too, because, I mean,
I felt bad about it until you told me what you're going to say next.
I don't feel bad about it at all.
But, I mean, it has been confirmed that she has attempted to do the same thing to other people, attempting to get them fired from lucrative work because they said something against Israel, something she didn't like. And, you know, as much as you want to feel bad about it, it's like turnaround is fair play. Yeah. So,
And I mean, there's also that that Tumblr that has gone up in the last few days. I've seen floating around images floating around on Facebook where supposedly it's like racists getting fired and getting racists fired at Tumblr. And they've got, I guess, images of somebody that said something racist, and then they managed to do a little research, find out how they were, find out where they work, and get them fired. Most of their success cases are, you know, pretty much working class whites that don't have very
good
high-end jobs. And, you know, we're stupid enough to say the word nigger while their own actual real public email address was on display on their Twitter account or something like that. Like somebody really just doing something I wouldn't recommend. Anybody with a brain knows not to do it.
Hold up.
Actual name with your actual information.
We're not supposed to say nigger.
Yeah.
We can, right?
This really isn't a safe space, but I mean, I wasn't going to say anything. I figured you guys knew, you know, agency.
Oh, fuck shit.
But I'm not using it, like I'm saying, I'm using it as an example. I'm using it for educational purposes only.
I don't mean nigger in a disrespectful way.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, I'm from Tennessee. I mean, it's the nigger is implied.
I'm just using it for informational and educational purposes only in this instance. Anyway, that sort of goes along with the whole thing of this is basically how they are. What they're resorting to, all the narratives have collapsed, and now they're just, you know, and most of the posts that people said was just them being like, look at these stupid niggers rioting and burning their own town, right?
Yeah.
You could actually get the sentiment of that, even if you're like, dude, don't use the N-word with your fucking public email address on Twitter. Someone's going to come after you. But it's funny how sort of, thought police-y they've come, and this is their response. And I guess, really, we kind of know the sorts of people that do that and who's behind that kind of thing. You know, the group that...
What? Like, who?
Who are you referring to?
There's a group of people that's probably behind it.
those people?
No.
Is it her?
Don't think so.
I want to play a game.
Is it that guy?
What do you think he has?
Ancient aliens?
Oh. I know who you're talking about.
I think you guys know.
I think I know where they belong.
We're going to need a bigger offer.
I've just discovered that the tears of liberals and black people are the perfect beverage to pair with Thanksgiving food. This is the Merchant Minute. Black Friday went exactly according to the Jewish plan, even expanding into the UK, where crowds of muds and mud-presenting whites appropriated American culture like the imperialist shitlords they are, by bashing each other's faces in for merchants' low, low prices. The only thing lower than the prices is the level of social trust in that Pakistani-run child prostitute factory that you call a country. And Gaza has been flooded by 2 days of heavy rain, compounding the area's issue of looking like it's the perennial target of Yahweh's wrath, which I'm sure is what the Jews are saying, just like that time a gust of wind allegedly blew a Palestinian bottle rocket into the sea, and they all started kissing their Torahs. And the Star Wars Episode 7 teaser was released on Friday, and holy alveolar prognathism, Batman, the first thing we saw was the face of a gentle giant who didn't do nothing and is trying to get his life together by joining the stormtroopers to fight those evil racist Jedi militiamen hiding in their wilderness compounds. And then there's the new lightsaber design that looks like it was thought up by the aforementioned Australopithecine. George Lucas handed his franchise over to a once-proud anti-Semitic company that made cartoons that still trigger subhumans and their sympathizers to this day. And what did they do? They handed it over to that heeb, J.J. Abrams, and he makes the whole movie about some dindu with a coal-burner girlfriend fighting against the Bix-nude side of the Force. You know what? I'm gonna have to pirate this movie on principle when it comes out, instead of pirating it because I'm a cheap bastard like I usually do. The intent is different, but the result is the same. Kinda like when a left libertarian doesn't vote because voting is rape, instead of the usual excuse that he's too lazy to even bathe. Crush the urbanite, moderator, globalist, reptilian, shapeshifter, Jews. For the right stuff, .biz, I'm Morocco, and this has been the Merchant Minute.
I think that'll work. Do you think that'll work?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's definitely good.
I'm super excited to see the new Star Wars. We ain't found shit!
Dude, let me just tell you, man. First of all, I'm triggered because I've seen that picture like so many fucking times.
Oh, I know.
Because it was posted on a thread, and then people kept commenting on it, so it kept coming back up to the top of the group, and I was like, stop commenting on this. I don't want to see this fucking face anymore. And then I didn't know where it was from, so I like for some other reason, I went and watched the trailer, and that was the first thing that popped up, and I just burst out laughing.
I still haven't seen the fucking trailer. I don't even
It's like literally the first second that big head just pops right into you. I just burst out laughing. I was like,
subliminal imaging.
TRS ruins everything again.
Wow.
There's, in my opinion, there's not much left to ruin, but whatever. I actually got into a fight with somebody over the weekend. I mean, a total nerd fight about that.
I mean, I was hoping. I mean,
that's like that anachronism of like, why is this a black Vulcan? Vulcan has black people. Yeah, why would Vulcan have black? Why are there black Vulcans?
I mean, nobody cares about Star Trek, though.
But you realize that when you think that, what you're doing is sort of. That's a projection of white privilege because you just assume aliens are all white.
Well, I thought they were green. I thought they had a kind of a greenish hue, like the Romulans. I mean, the Romulans have kind of a green hue.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Kirk made out with the green.
Enough! Stop it! No Vulcans are Jews, dude. I mean, come on. I mean, the whole Spock's hand signal. Is a symbol.
Enough! Stop it!
Nobody cares about Star Trek!
should we at one point do a whole episode set to races in Star Trek?
Star Trek is better than Star Wars. Anyone who believes otherwise is not to your ass.
Shut it down! Shut it down!
It is not better.
We need to have a nerd out episode.
Yeah, we're going to have to definitely do
it. We're going to need a bigger offer.
You can't argue with the guy with the hilarious sound bites.
I mean, I've got D&D. I mean, McNabb has Warhammer. You know, Mike, you have Star Trek.
I got Star Trek.
We all have Star Trek.
No,
we're all down on Star Trek.
And Nav and I can do Star Trek. I'll tell you why Star Trek kicks Star Wars ass. I got the whole Marvel Universe, the DC Universe covered.
Oh.
Marvel
is fucking dildo, dude.
J.J. Abrams.
Whoa, what the fuck?
J.J. Really? Abrams worked wonders with Star Trek, though. I can't wait to see what he does with Star Wars.
I mean,
dude, we're going to have to fight.
Like, I think DC is a lot better than Marvel.
Are you serious now?
I got to disagree, even though Marvel is mostly Jew propaganda. But again, we'll save it for the Nerd Out episode.
Awesome.
Everyone's going to want it now that we're talking about it.
I know, right?
Bulbasaur just take contradictory positions like that to piss us off?
I'm gonna play Vivaldi in the background.
We already had an issue over that. Don't start it again.
Yeah.
I'm going to play Vivaldi in the background that entire episode. The entire time.
Right. Or just put on Vivaldi's The Seasons and just let it
just
go.
The whole thing.
Underlying
just let the whole thing play and we'll just talk.
I have kids, so I can go on about Pixar if you want.
Oh, we could do Disney. Really. I got you on Disney.
Wow, Bulbasaur.
That's not nerdy enough. That's too. That's
can
too
you
mainstream.
Mute his channel? Like, is that possible?
No, I have control. I am in complete control.
Just make him stop. Stop.
So I guess that's coming up in the next couple of weeks or so. What else are we going to do? We're going to hopefully have Doolittle on at some point.
We just have to set a question.
Quick update. Yeah, we'll have to do that. I'll do the JQ one at some point. Quick update on the Sean Last and Paint Your Panda situation.
Oh, right. Yes.
I talked to him today. He said he'd been drawing this email thing out. He said to me today, I can stop emailing with her and write my article anytime you want. So I said, why not do it this week? We'll put the article up towards the end of the week, and then he's going to come. He's going to be a guest next weekend.
Awesome.
Oh, that
to talk
cool.
about it.
All right,
so,
we can do that.
Perfect. He now has to do that because I've announced it, and we've never announced we're going to do something and then not done it before.
Yeah, we have.
That has never happened.
It took like 3 weeks to do Pinochet after we first said we were going to do Pinochet.
That was
but the actual broadcast was good.
We still haven't finished Pinochet either.
Yeah, we can still do two more on that.
We got to do more Pinochet.
I was actually referencing that. I don't know. Maybe you would have picked up on that. Maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you say?
That's what I was referencing.
I missed.
He was being autistic, and you failed to pick up on it.
Yeah, you completely picked up on my.
Oh, I see what you were doing.
You see what I was doing?
I got it. Oh,
there we go.
I see what you did there.
I gotcha. I'll just edit that out to make it look like I got it.
That's what I would do. Yep. He has the power.
I do. All the power.
You can change history just like the Communist Party.
I can.
All right. Speaking of changing history and the Communist Party, I really do hope that we can get Ask a Socialist as part of our broadcast.
Killing in the name of... Now you Jew, they sold you.
We'll see if we can get...
Now you Jew, they sold you. So yeah, check us out next week. We're going to be here with... We're going to have Sean Last. He's going to have his epic Paint Your Response
Paint your
post. Paint Your Panda. And we'll be back with that. It's going to be lots of fun. We'll see you then.
Bye, guys.
I hope you're doing well.
Hope you're doing well.
Thank you for donating.
Always give your best.
Looking forward to donations.
Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember, others may hate you. Those who hate you don't win. Then you destroy yourself.
Mi general, adiós. Quiero cerrar filas otra vez en ese ejército que invicto comandó y que mil glorias a la patria me entregó. Adiós, mi general. Adiós. La página que hoy día se cerró. La historia como ráfagas de sol, justo en el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven, los que jamás se han de olvidar. General, adiós. El grito que en Chorrillos se escuchó.
¡Viva Baquedano vencedor!
Y que del pecho del soldado se escapó. Adiós, mi general, adiós. Solo soy un ciudadano. Despedirlo con tu anual.
Adiós,
mi general.
Adiós.
La página que hoy día se cerró. Se abre ya la historia como ráfagas de sol. Justo en el umbral donde.
gente se encuentra.